The Plumed Serpent by D. H. Lawrence. Chapter 1. Beginnings of a Bullfight. It was the Sunday after Easter, and the last bullfight of the season in Mexico City. For special bulls had been brought over from Spain for the occasion, since Spanish bulls are more fiery than Mexican. Perhaps it is the altitude, perhaps just the spirit of the Western continent, which is to blame for the lack of pep, as Owen put it, in the native animal. Although Owen, who is a great socialist, disapproved of bullfights, we have never seen one. "We shall have to go," he said. "Oh yes, I think we must see it," said Kate. "And it's our last chance," said Owen. Away he rushed to the place where they sold tickets to book seats, and Kate went with him. As she came into the street, her heart sank. It was as if some little person inside her were sulking and resisting. Neither she nor Owen spoke much Spanish. There was a fluster at the ticket place, and an unpleasant individual came forward to talk American for them. It was obvious they ought to buy tickets for the shade, but they wanted to economize, and Owen said he preferred to sit among the crowd. Therefore, against the resistance of the ticket man and the onlookers, they bought reserved seats in the sun. The show was on Sunday afternoon. All the tram cars and the frightful little Ford omnibuses called camiones were labeled Torero and were surging away towards Chapultepec. Kate felt that sudden dark feeling that she didn't want to go. "I'm not very keen on going," she said to Owen. "Oh, but why not?" "I don't believe in them on principle, but we've never seen one, so we shall have to go." Owen was an American. Kate was Irish. Never having seen one meant having to go. But it was American logic rather than Irish, and Kate only let herself be overcome. Villiers, of course, was keen, but then he too was American, and he too had never seen one, and being younger, more than anybody had to go. They got into a Ford taxi and went. The busted car careered away down the wide, dismal street of asphalt and stone and Sunday dreariness. Stone buildings in Mexico have a peculiar hard, dry dreariness. The taxi drew up in a side street under the big iron scaffolding of the stadium. In the gutters, rather lousy men were selling pulque and sweets, cakes, fruit, and greasy food. Crazy motor cars rushed up and hobbled away. Little soldiers in washed-out cotton uniforms, pinky drab, hung around an entrance. Above all loomed the network iron frame of the huge, ugly stadium. Kate felt she was going to prison, but Owen excitedly surged to the entrance that corresponded to his ticket. In the depths of him, he too didn't want to go, but he was a born American, and if anything was on show, he had to see it. That was life. The man who took the tickets at the entrance, suddenly, as they were passing in, stood in front of Owen, put both his hands on Owen's chest, and pawed down the front of Owen's body. Owen started, bridled, transfixed for a moment. The fellow stood aside. Kate remained petrified. Then Owen jerked into a smiling composure as the man waved them on. "Feeling for firearms," he said, rolling his eyes with pleased excitement at Kate. But she had not got over the shock of horror, fearing the fellow might paw her. They emerged out of a tunnel in the hollow of the concrete and iron amphitheater. A real gutter lout came to look at their counter slips to see which seats they had booked. He jerked his head downwards and slouched off. Now Kate knew she was in a trap, a big concrete beetle trap. They dropped down the concrete steps till they were only 3 tiers from the bottom. That was their row. They were to sit on the concrete, with a loop of thick iron between each numbered seat. This was a reserved place in the sun. Kate sat gingerly between her 2 iron loops and looked vaguely around. "I think it's thrilling," she said. Like most modern people, she had a will to happiness. "Isn't it thrilling?" cried Owen, whose will to happiness was almost a mania. "Don't you think so, bud?"
"Why, yes, I think it may be," said Villiers, noncommittal.
But then Villiers was young. He was only over 20, while Owen was over 40. The younger generation calculates its happiness in a more businesslike fashion. Villiers was out after a thrill, but he wasn't going to say he'd got one till he'd got it. Kate and Owen, Kate was also nearly 40, must enthuse a thrill out of a sort of politeness to the great showman, Providence. "Look here," said Owen. "Supposing we try to protect our extremity on this concrete." And thoughtfully, he folded his raincoat and laid it along the concrete ledge so that both he and Kate could sit on it. They sat and gazed around.
They were early. Patches of people mottled the concrete slope opposite like eruptions. The ring just below was vacant, neatly sanded. And above the ring, on the encircling concrete, great advertisements for hats, with a picture of a city man's straw hat, and advertisement for spectacles, with pairs of spectacles.